It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Egg prices soared to new record highs in February, and since then, wholesale prices have come down as egg supplies get back closer to normal as bird flu cases level off. Even as wholesale prices fall, consumers may not feel the impacts for a while as inventory takes time to turn over. And in recent months, grocery stores put limits on egg carton purchases. Some restaurants added egg surcharges to their menus. That's the case at Frank's Diner in Kenosha. The restaurant's been operating for almost 100 years. Co-owner Julie Rittmiller spoke with Kate Archer Kent last week.
Well, run us through your kitchen. On a typical day, how many eggs does your restaurant go through?
On a weekend, we would go through, I just have to do a little math because a case is 180. Mm-hmm. And typically on a weekend day, we would go through four of those, three and a half to four of those. So we would go through 720 eggs on a Saturday or Sunday.
Wow. That's a lot of breaking of eggs.
Yes, it is. And now we're afraid to break them if they're not going into the pan or on the grill.
I bet. You know, we've seen egg prices just go through the roof, right?
It's crazy.
Dozen eggs on average costing nearly $6. And then, I mean, you're buying cases of eggs.
Correct.
How do egg prices for your restaurant compare to before the bird flu outbreak shortage?
I looked back on this. So on 10/21, I paid $35.99 for 180 eggs. 2 weeks ago, they were $130. Last week, I paid $123 on the 14th. Now this week, when I go to order on Thursday, they'll be $111.50. So they have come down a little, but with Easter right around the corner, they'll go back up because people dye white eggs.
Oh, are these prices sustainable for your business?
They're right now, we're doing okay. We do have an egg upcharge. So if you get one egg, we're charging you an additional dollar. If you get 2 to 3 eggs, we're charging you an additional $2. And our full garbage plate, which has 5 eggs, we're charging you an additional $3.
Do customers understand the surcharge?
Yes. Yes. We've actually only had one full-on complaint and a couple people just questioning it. But when you ask them if they've been to the grocery store lately, I've only had one person say no.
Do you think that this surcharge is here to stay?
I'm hoping not. That's why we didn't raise our menu prices, because we really do, you know, hope these prices come down. Like I said, I don't think we're going to know anything truly till after Easter.
Mm-hmm. You certainly don't want to print all new menus.
Correct. Exactly. And rather than take everything up, since it really is eggs, and then coffee's another one, but eggs is the biggest. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier for people to handle if it's a surcharge.
You know, not every restaurant has passed along price increases to customers. How difficult was this decision for you, Julie?
It was very difficult. And we have not been doing, we've probably been doing this about a month. So we held steady with our prices for months because they just kept rising. November, December. I mean, and it's crazy. I mean, it's up over 200%.
Have you been shopping around with other suppliers, or do you stick with the same one?
Pretty much everybody's at the same price. What we have tried to do is, I learned many years ago around Easter that brown eggs or free range eggs don't go up in price. Hmm. Traditionally, they're always more expensive than white eggs, but at Easter, they don't really rise. So as white eggs become more expensive. So I've been on some allocations for the brown or free range eggs. But a lot of those suppliers have their set restaurants that they've dealt with for years. And kudos to them, they're being very loyal. So I can maybe get 3 to 10 cases of eggs every couple weeks. Mm-hmm. But it's not like I can get my allotment that I really need.
And it's not like you can use a lower size or a lower grade egg, like a medium instead of a large.
We can't, no. Because our restaurant, we cook in front of customers. So that's part of the uniqueness and the fun of it, is our cooks are really great at cracking eggs. And to see that you know, happening very quickly and very accurately. It's part of the fun. And also we could use egg product, which is a liquid egg that's frozen and then you thaw it, which a lot of restaurants I get out east in the New York area are doing that. But I know you've probably had an omelet at a brunch or scrambled eggs, and they just don't taste the same and they don't fluff up in pancakes the same. And you can't do a fried egg.
You know, and eggs have historically been a less expensive source of protein.
Yes.
And some restaurants have built their menu around that price stability of that protein. Does this moment feel unsettling for you, or is this a shift, do you think?
It's very unsettling because eggs is a huge percent of our menu, not just eggs themselves, but we make our own bread, we make our own biscuits and gravy. We've got cakes that we do, pancakes, French toast, all of that.
It goes in there.
Eggs, yeah. Quite a bit, exactly.
What about those restaurants and those diners that have been around maybe 2 years, maybe a year? What is your advice to them in this moment?
It's hard. I think you've really got to listen to your customers, sit down, talk to people, make your restaurant as welcoming as it can be, and explain. If you have to raise prices, most people do understand. And I think if you have that connection with customers, they'll understand and they'll support you. Get involved in the community too. I mean, that's just huge. If you're a new restaurant, join a couple of organizations and support those local parades, fireworks, baseball, softball, whatever it is.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Kate.
That was Julie Rittmiller, co-owner of Frank's Diner in Kenosha, where there are egg surcharges on the menu due to the spike in egg prices. Now for a look at how egg farmers are dealing with bird flu challenges affecting their operations and wholesale price fluctuations, we turn to Steve Albert, co-owner of Prairie Bluff Farm. It's an organic egg farm near Mount Horeb. Steve, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's nice to be with you today, Kate.
Can you talk about your flock of chickens, your numbers, and your pasture land that you raise them on?
We would be considered a small farm in the egg world. We have about 1,500 hens, and that varies a bit depending on the time of year. Right now, our numbers are almost double that because we have two flocks on the farm, the older birds from last year, and newer hens that we've just received on Saturday. And we keep the older hens until the new ones are laying and in good production. And then we distribute our older hens to a lot of backyard flocks. And then also a number of them are brought to a processing facility where they become stewing hens.
We've seen some wild fluctuations in egg prices. What impact is this having on your farm?
It's been interesting. It sure has been an upside down world as far as the pricing goes. Whereas typically when you go to the store, the more conventional egg coming out of the larger style farms has been cheaper and we would be a little more expensive. And now it's been the opposite. We have long-term relationships with our customers. There's different types of farms, and ours is a type where basically the only eggs we sell are the eggs that we produce here. And we're probably, this type of farm is the least common in today's egg market, but it does give us long-term relationships with our customers. And although we have some small raises, usually on an annual or biannual basis in our price to compensate for inflationary types of things, there hasn't been any large markup on the cost of our eggs because of that. And because we want to make sure we have our customers when all this is over too.
I want to get to the customers in a moment, but why are some cage-free or brown eggs less expensive now than the traditional white eggs?
I think it really varies. There's just about as many different ways of pricing eggs as there are brands on the market. So you have a place like ours where our main inflationary pressure is going to be our cost of our grain. And if the grain price is pretty stable, which it has been, we don't have a great need to raise that price. And our birds have been healthy. We haven't lost hens due to this illness. So there really isn't a lot of need other than just kind of general inflation for us to raise our price, and just for our own household to kind of keep up with increases in the cost of insurance or those kinds of things. And that isn't a big price jump. There are other types of farms that something like, and I don't want to speak for anyone else, but you have a situation like Organic Valley, where their prices have also remained pretty stable, but for different reasons. They contract ahead with both the customers they distribute to and their farmers for what their price is going to be for a period of months. Then you have another type, which you can have a central place where a lot of different farms are bringing eggs to wash their eggs, and they will be then sold as a particular brand, and it's a central washing facility. And that would be another way. And I've noticed that those prices tend to be quite stable too.
I do want to get to your customers. You sell your eggs to restaurants in the Dane County area. Are you seeing changes from your clients, or are they shopping around perhaps, or are they sticking with you?
We've just had an increase in requests from new clients for the eggs. And unfortunately, I can't ask the girls out there to put out two eggs a day instead of one. So we haven't been able to meet a lot of those requests. Our current customers have been sticking with us, and we're always grateful for that. It's also harder to find eggs right now other places. So there's that as well. And we distribute to restaurants, to stores, to farm CSAs. We'll be starting that up soon, where they sell vegetables to their customers, and they'll include eggs as part of that. We sell to private customers, come out, and we have our own neighborhood sites in the Madison area that we provide eggs to. And that has all remained very stable, with just an increase in the demand right now for the eggs.
It sounds as if you have customers who would love to do business with you, but you don't have the supply to grow in that way. Do you do anything to increase egg laying, providing artificial lighting or anything like that?
During the winter, basically for our buildings, we can use 60 watt equivalent LED lights in one of our winter housing. It's a hoop type building with a solar film on the south side and insulated on the north side. And that will keep 500 birds with enough light so that they will keep in production throughout the winter. They always have 8 to 9 hours of darkness every night. Mm-hmm. And then the lights usually come on about 6 a.m. and they'll go off at 9:30 to 10 o'clock at night. And that's what we do regardless of whether there's increased demand or not. The only thing that we can really do to increase the production or the availability of eggs from our farm is we are considering keeping our older birds longer this spring. The birds tend to decrease in production, and the shell quality isn't quite as good that next year of laying. And so a lot of times when you're producing eggs commercially, it isn't cost effective to keep the birds longer than about 13 months of laying. But we are considering that this year, keeping some birds through the summer just to have more eggs available for people.
Steve, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you, Kate. It was nice to speak with you.
That was Steve Albert, co-owner and operator of Prairie Bluff Farm, a certified organic egg farmer near Mount Horeb. Earlier, we heard from Julie Rittmiller, the co-owner of Frank's Diner in Kenosha. Been talking about the effects of low egg supplies and price spikes with a restaurant owner and egg farmer as the bird flu outbreak earlier this year decimated flocks, wiped out supplies, and sent prices soaring. Some people throw the word awesome around pretty freely. People like, well, me. But next week, we're going to have a conversation about the actual feeling of awe and of wonder. A UW lacrosse expert will give us some advice on how to feel awe in our daily lives. So how about you? Is there a moment in your life where you felt awestruck by a natural wonder, an experience, or maybe just a quiet moment in nature? Do you have ways to find a sense of wonder in your daily life? Tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Or you can call or text to get in touch at 888-642-0232. That's 888-642-0232. Let us know. We can share your story. It'd be awesome. Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to WPR News.